You want to turn for our Bible reading? It's in 1 Peter chapter 5, and we're going to read the first 5 verses. 1 Peter chapter 5. To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder and a witness of Christ's sufferings, who will also share in the glory to be revealed. The shepherds of God's flock that are under your care, watching over them. Not because you must, because you are willing, as God wants you to be. Not pursuing dishonest gain, but eager to serve. Not lording you over those who are entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. In the same way, you are younger. Submit yourselves to your elders, all of you. Clothe yourselves with humility towards one another, because God opposes the proud, but shows favour to the humble. May God help us in our understanding of his word. There are some wonderful stories in the New Testament, especially in the Acts, of course. There's wonderful exploits of Paul as he went on his missionary journeys and all the tremendous things that he did. Some tremendous thoughts and letters, one thinks of Hebrews, one thinks of all these wonderful stories of the early church and how it grew and how it progressed and how it stood up against persecution. Wonderful things to preach on. But then we come to chapter 5, verses 1 to 5. 5 verses on elders. I think 5 verses on elders. Wow. Should have maybe from Philip. I'm sure you've preached on 1 to 5, and I nearly did you a swap. But however, what do you say about verses 1 to 5 of 1 Peter 5? Well, there are many things for us to understand and to see as we look through these words. It's not just words to elders, of course. It's word to all of us. That we might understand the role of elders, that we might know what it is to support the elders in our church. We're talking about elders, we're talking about pastors, well, the teaching elder. And so as we go through this morning, it might help us have a deeper understanding of what an elder is, what his role is, what his position is, and what his work is as well. And I've entitled it Shepherds of the Sheep. And for me, I thought, what's a good title that was? Then you got 10 out of 10 for that one. Shepherds of Sheep. In verse 1, of course, we're told that elders should be faithful shepherds. Peter gives a word of exhortation to the elders amongst the Christians who are reading this letter. Because he wants to instruct the elders in particular, that they are to shepherd God's flock willingly, not under compulsion, to be examples, of course, to the other believers, to lead with humility, not lording over those that have been entrusted to them, to serve eagerly, anticipating that there will be a reward. And it shows also the importance and humility of all believers as we seek to serve one another. So there are lessons for us as we go through this together. In 1 Timothy 5 verse 18 reads this: the elders who direct the affairs of the church are well worthy of double honour. Well, there you are, double honour. Especially whose work is preaching and teaching. Those preaching, teaching elders, of course. So the Lord has set aside these men who will lead and direct the church, who will instruct the church, who will support the church, and who will pastor the church as well. And as we go through this, we shall see how indebted we are to the Lord for providing such men, and particularly those who are amongst us. Notice that Peter is qualified because he was a witness of Jesus in the first place. He saw the suffering of Jesus. He was there, of course, at his transfiguration. He saw his glory. But we give him to understand, perhaps he was there at the cross as well and saw the tremendous suffering that the Lord had to go through in order for our salvation. But notice that they are shepherds. Shepherds, as you know, look after sheep. and they tend to them, they care for them, they make sure they're safe and they make sure they're secure, they lift them up when they're hurting. And it's that lovely illustration that we have before us this morning. But I noticed one commentator said this: the sheep don't belong to the elders. The sheep are simply just entrusted to them. The sheep don't belong to the elders. The sheep are entrusted to them. Why? Because the sheep belong to God. We all belong to God, our Father. And I want to pick up one or two verses before I go generally over it all as well. And in verse 4 we say, when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade. There are faithful rewards, of course, for all, but particularly for those who are pastors and elders amongst them, who faithfully discharge their duty. They will receive a crown of glory. Well, of course, we all will one day receive a crown of glory, but they would especially mention that here, of course. In 1 Corinthians, of course, we're told that we'll all get a crown that will last forever. But I wonder if they have maybe a slightly bigger crown. I don't know. Maybe they'll have some jewels in. I don't know. But however, we're all encouraged to be humble. Of course, we are. But particularly, this is an instruction to elders. Verse 5, in the same way, you are younger, submit yourself to elders. All of you, clothe yourself with humility towards one another, because God opposes the proud, shows favour to the humble. Humility is often demonstrated in submission. It's an ability to cheerfully put away your own agenda and to always seek God's agenda for your life, my life, and as God seeks to lead us as a church and as a fellowship, he seeks to lead us through the elders that he has appointed to oversee us. Of course, we're all commanded to serve one another. We're all there, of course, to help and support one another, but pastors and elders in particular have the care for the flock. And the phrase clothed with humility comes from the idea of a slave putting on an apron before serving, or as Jesus put on an apron before he washed the feet of his disciples. That idea of service. And it's all marks of humility that come across in these five verses. Humility, for me, seems to be a key word here. And marks of humility that we see, of course, a willingness to perform the lowest task. The willingness to be open to the lowest position. A consciousness of our own ability to do anything apart from what God enables us to do. A willingness even to be looked down upon at times. A willingness to do the menial tasks. I remember many years ago somebody said, you wouldn't expect an elder to clean the toilet, would you? I said, well, I've done it many times. We, of course, we're all encouraged to serve each other. And in particular, the elders to serve. If it even means cleaning the toilet. Put aside pride and humility and come in true humility. That's the whole focus of these verses here. Yes, the Lord, in his goodness, appoints elders, pastors. But they are to serve, as we all are, with humility. Whatever the task the Lord gives us to do in the church, we're to do it with humility. Not lording it over with others, not putting ourselves first, but showing that humility of service, willing ourselves to put ourselves below. And to, of course, to shepherd the flock is a wonderful expression. It's the first aspect of leadership, of course, isn't it? And, of course, in John's letter, in John chapter 21, and verse 15, I want to read this. John 21, verse 15. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said. I know you know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. Again, Jesus said, Simon, John, do you love me? And he answered, yes, Lord, you know I love you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. Take care of my sheep. Who are the sheep? We are the sheep. Take care of my sheep. They are to be shepherds of the flock. And that comes out, obviously, so much here in this five verses. Elders are appointed by God. Elders are to serve in humility. Elders are to put others first before themselves. But above all, they're to shepherd, to encourage, to look after, to care for. That whole idea comes out in these verses here. And it means to tend my sheep, says Jesus. It doesn't mean just look after them, but care for them. Make sure they're well fed. Make sure they're healthy. And when he says tend them, it means get hold of them. Tend to them. Get close to them. Get to know them. It's a lovely expression. When I was a young lad, I'm going back a long time now, of course, my grandfather had a small farm over in Scugdale in Swainby, and we had cows and sheep and all sorts of things. And I remember once he said, that sheep there is struggling a bit, go and have a look at it, Dennis. I went and have a look at it. Never mind, get hold of it, he said. And he came over and he got hold of it and he shook it down. That's right, he said. You can't do any good, you standing looking at him. He told me off now and again, as you'll appreciate. But that was that's what the Lord's getting at here for elders. They're to look after the sheep, they're to get involved with the sheep, they're to tend to the sheep. You can only tend to something when you get hold of it and you look after it and you see what's wrong with it. To me, it's encouragement to elders to be fully involved in the flock, in the church. And again, I came across this lovely phrase, and it said there's the most important tool to shepherd the flock is to have a heart like the heart of Jesus. That true? To be an effective shepherd, you have to have a heart like Jesus. One who's willing to serve and to do anything for the good of the sheep. One who genuinely cares about the sheep, of course. And in John chapter 10 and verse 11 to 14 we read this. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. A hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf come in, he abandons the sheep and runs away. The wolf attacks and the flock scatters. The man who runs away because he's hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep. Just as the Father knows me. And I lay down my life for this sheep. Isn't that wonderful? And that tremendous encouragement as we pray for our pastor and elders, that they might know more and more the help and support of God to be available to pastor and to encourage the shepherd, the flock here, the church here. And they're to be overseers. For Peter, the job of being a shepherd could only be understood as being an overseer. An overseer, of course, the word comes from Greek culture. It means to watch over, to manage and supervise. Acts 28, watch over all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Overseers. Making sure everything's done right. Making sure people are looked after. Make sure people know what's right and wrong. Make sure that people know what God's word is all about. Overseers. This is not to do something out of compulsion. Willingly. Willingly. Again, I came across this phrase. One who loves God, has a heart for God, and has a love and a heart for the people of God. That's an elder. That's an overseer. It was Meyer who said, we must have a shepherd's heart to have to do God's work with the sheep. We must have a shepherd's heart to do God's word with the sheep. Now, I know verses 1 to 5, we're talking about elders. So basically, you might think I'm just preaching to the elders here. which is true, of course, but it's that we might have an understanding of what an elder is. That's the important thing here. We might understand why we have elders, what the elders do, what we should expect of the elders. And in verses 1 to 5, this is the sort of things that we should look for. Yes, this is the instruction to the elders, but we as the flock, of course, need to understand what it is the elders are seeking to do. And the more you understand what the job of an elder is, the more you'll appreciate the work of our eldership and our pastor, of course. They aren't just there. They don't get paid, by the way. The pastor does, of course he does. But all do it for the glory of God. Willing servants of God. And it was Mary who said, not for to gain any favour. In the days of persecution, as we have in this time, it was a dangerous thing to be an elder in the church. It was a dangerous thing to be those who were leading the church due to persecution. And sometimes we need to pray for our elders, or sometimes they have to put up with problems and difficulties that's beyond their understanding and belief. And then, of course, I read again this week, somebody said this. It's a wonderful and fearful thing to be an elder in the Church of God. I think that's true. And he also went on to say, but being the pastor is one of the greatest privileges and one of the greatest burdens. One of the greatest privileges, one of the greatest burdens. Yes, we give God thanks for our elders, but we particularly give thanks for our teaching elder, for our pastor. You'll be surprised at the burdens sometimes pastors have to face, even beyond the work of elders. There are those problems and difficulties that only pastors have to go through and face. And I think Philip will attest to that. There are times of great trials and difficulties. But God says, in all this, there's that humility. There's that dependence upon God. So when we pray for our pastor, and when we pray for our elders, we pray that they might know not only that humility that alone comes from God, but the strength and the ability and the willingness to carry out this tremendously important work that God has motivated them to do. Now, having said that, it seems to me, yes, this is pastors and elders, but it would apply, seems to me, to all who seek to work in service of God, for every aspect. Because there are times, many times, within our various works, that you obviously are instructing, you're teaching the Word of God, you're seeking to show example. So any of us who are in service of the Lord, in particular organization or work or whatever, we too need to know that spirit of humility. We too need to know that willingness to be led of God by His Spirit. Whether it be youth work, Sunday school, women's work, men's work, any service done in the Lord is done in the Spirit of the Lord. I remember once, and I've used this illustration a few times, a lovely illustration. We had a visiting preacher once, and I said, your preparation is all right, the Lord will give me a word when I get there. And he went bounding up into the pulpit, and he was absolute rubbish. And he came down with his head down. Dick Sharp, you might know him, said to me, if he'd have gone up like he went down, he'd have gone down like he went up. Our own ability gets us nowhere. In humbleness of spirit, we rely on the Spirit to lead us and guide us. That's our motivation for everything we do within the church. Whatever aspect of work that might be, it is cleaning the toilets to the glory of God. There will be times when nobody thanks you. You don't look for it. It's sometimes nice. Don't rush. But sometimes I, when you finish, you come down from the pulpit and somebody says, that was a good word there. Thank you very much. Don't form a queue. I'm not asking for that. But you know, sometimes that's needed, isn't it? Just that word of encouragement. And of course, what Peter is talking about here, when he's talking about elders, or any who's seeking to serve the Lord in a sense, but particularly pastors and elders, the motivation, yes, it's to serve, the motivation is to Christ himself. Christ is the motivation indeed. We want to do it all for the glory of Christ. And whatever you do, particularly if you're an elder and a pastor, you do it for God's glory, for his service, not looking for anything else. Remember once, it's lovely, it is lovely, isn't it? Philip, sometimes you come to the pub and says, I enjoyed that word. There was, you know, the lady in the church once upon a time, Mrs. Chilton, a lovely woman. After every service, without fail, she would come up and say, Pastor, that was a lovely word. I knew he was in trouble one day. She came up and said, Pastor, the flowers are lovely today. But you know, it does help. It does help. Now, what Peter's talking about over here, of course, is that sometimes there will be suffering. Sometimes there'll be suffering. Why? Because Satan is all the more determined to shipwreck. That's his motivation. Shipwreck. If he can get in a shipwreck, he's got a victory. So we need to pray for our pastors and elders, that they might be surrounded by God's Spirit, that when Satan comes in with temptations and problems and difficulties, that they might know what it is to trust Christ. All too easy to be led and to fall. But by the grace of God, of course, even then, he can lift up and lead on. But then, in verse 5, he says this, in the same way, you who are younger, submit yourselves to your elders. That indicates the elders are truly older, obviously. Close yourself in humility towards one another, because God opposes the proud, but shows favour to the humble. That's different, isn't it? Pride can come in at any time, whatever our position with the work within the church, particularly in leadership, in eldership, pastoral. Satan can so easily make us feel proud and takes away the humility. So pray for our pastors and elders. Pray for them regularly. Pray for them daily. They might be submissive to God at all times. There's a lovely phrase there in verse 5. In the same way, you younger, submit yourselves to elders. All of you, clothe yourselves with humility. All of you. Now I'm going to take that further than just speaking to elders here. All of you. All of you. Clothe yourselves with humility. And that towards one another. Not one of us should lord it over another. We're all equal in the sight of God. Yes, he gives us different tasks, different positions, different abilities, different talents. But all of you, he says, without exception, submit yourselves, clothe yourselves with humility towards one another. All of you, clothe yourself with humility. What a difference it would make, wouldn't it, if we were all humble towards one another. Not thinking of anyone less than us. Not thinking of ourselves higher than any other. All of you. In Proverbs 3, verse 34, that's what he's quoting here. God opposes the proud, but shows favour to the humble. That humility, of course, is essentially a relationship with God. That's always with humility. We have nothing but from God. God gives us everything. God enables us to do everything. God is there at all times. God supports us. In true humility, we're always dependent upon the Lord. And if we want to live in God's grace day by day, we want to receive that crown of glory, of course, His unmerited favor, we must humble ourselves before Him and before each other. You see, it's Spurgeon who said this: if you're willing to be nothing, God will make something of you. The way to the top of the ladder is to begin with the lowest rung. Isn't that true? The way to the top of the ladder is to begin with the lowest rung. And we build ourselves up in humility and in service for the Lord. It's Spurgeon again who said this: humility is to think of yourself as God thinks of you. It is the feeling that if we have talents, then God has given them to us. Further, I believe that every believer has a choice between humble and being humbled. That's the point of today. Short, what more can you do? Anything else on that five verses there, Philip? What can we do? That's what it's about. Pray for our pastor. Pray for our elders. That they might know humility and that we know the grace of God as they continue to fulfill the task that God has entrusted to them. They need our prayers. They need our help. They need our support. They need our encouragement. Particularly our teaching elder, our pastor. What a difference it makes, you know, when you go up to him and say, I enjoyed that word. That word spoke to me. Make a point. I don't know, Russian form a cue next time Matt preaches. But at some time, when you're able to, reassure him. Reassure him. You're praying for him. You're supporting him. You appreciate him. You thank God for him and his ministry. That will make him proud, but it will encourage him. And he needs that. As do our elders. Thank God for their work. A lot of it's unseen, hidden work. But thank God for them and pray for them. Came across this phrase, it said this: here's the point of today. God has given leaders in the church called elders. They are responsible to shepherd the flock of God, voluntary, with eagerness, not allowing authority to go to their heads, not for personal gain, in the midst of hardship, persecution, but in the midst of hardship, also they might know the kindness of the flock. They might know as they shepherd the flock that the flock loves them and cares for them, so that the shepherd, of course, might love the church, the one that Christ bought with his blood. Give God thanks for our pastors and our elders.